What sort of things do you like reading?
I read all kinds of things.
What do you like reading?
Fiction, sorry?
Words. Wow. That's so deep for a Sunday morning. Words. Does anyone like I look at paintings or photos or flags. I love flags and maps. I love reading maps. But also, I like reading more formal things. For instance, the Church Constitution. That wasn't the reaction I was expecting. Here's a bit, hopefully, of our Church Constitution. Now, it did this last. Oh, there it is. Wonderful. It says this, look, I've even labelled it from our Constitution, just in case you thought I was making it up. It says 3.3.3, in case you want to look at it, because it's available on our website. 3.3, all partners will be expected to reaffirm their partnership every 2 years. Today, it's Partnership Sunday. And so I've been reading the Constitution just to make sure that we're going to be doing it at the right time. So if you're thinking, what on earth has John put a table out there for with pieces of paper on? Guess what? There's forms there about partnership, which we're going to talk about, but not very much. There's loads of other stuff we'll talk about. Because whether you think this is your spiritual home or not, maybe you're just here for a short time, and we're grateful that you're here, it's wonderful. But if you think this is your long-term spiritual home, then being a partner here is really good. There's plenty of options how you can get involved. I put here, this is part of the notices this morning. How do we show our commitment to God? What could you do to support what is going on at NCF? And then what a blessing to share the gifts we have with others. You don't need to say out loud, but do you reckon God has given you some gifts? Well, I'm just asking you a question. I know for certain, absolutely for certain, God has given you gifts to bless other people with. He hasn't given you gifts so you can just roll them up and put them in a cupboard and leave them there for a few years and occasionally think about them by taking them out of the cupboard. God wants you to get involved in his kingdom. If that's here, that's brilliant. If it's here and somewhere else, that's brilliant. If it's just somewhere else because you're only here for a few months, that's brilliant as well. But God wants us to get involved with what he is doing already. This is a bit from the Onward. It says, well, you'll read it for yourself, the newsletter that we sort of give out every few weeks. Partnership Sunday. It's not just about doing a form, filling in a form and signing it. It's so much more than that. And like we say, we'll be talking about that today. So this is what we're thinking about today. Three words. Keep on seeking. That's the three words that I'll mention several times, I'm sure, today. At least it's in my notes to mention it a few times. So the whole idea is Partnership Sunday, we're keeping on seeking. We can't be a partner. We can't do anything for God, really, on our own. We're partnering with God. And as you can see by the sort of picture I've picked, we're partnering with each other as well. Jill read out Joshua 5, 13 to 15. So to start with, we're going to be thinking about Joshua's life. And you probably know quite a lot about Joshua already. So let's just see what you know. Probably quite a lot, like we say. So he had a challenge. Now, I've put him as a youngster in inverted commas. It all depends on what age you are as to whether you think when he was 40, he was a youngster or not. I think whatever age you are, whether you're my age or similar or a bit older, a lot older, or quite a bit younger, God has got something for you today. And it's to know that he wants to use you, that whatever age or abilities or anything that you feel like, God wants to use you. So when he was about 40 or so, a few things happened to him. I bet you're aware of the story in Exodus 17. If I just do this, the facial expressions are quite important. What story do you think about? Moses' hands. Now, who was involved in that story? Who was holding his arms up? Her. Brilliant. And there was someone else as well than Diane. Aaron. Two people. So Moses was holding his hand up. This is Exodus 17. And Aaron was on one side. Her was on the other side. And they noticed that as his arms went down, so the fighting going on down below them, the Amalekites were winning. But then when he rose, his arms rose and everything was going on well there, they were doing better. So was there anyone else involved in the story? Shall I give you a clue? His name begins with a J. Joshua! Yes, I love it. Because do you know what? I've heard a few sermons on this. His hands were raised, and then it was Moses' arms being raised, and her and Aaron sort of raising them up. I've never heard a sermon about Joshua doing the hard work in the battle below. But it was Joshua who was chosen by Moses to go into battle against the Amalekites in Exodus 17. And three people were praying up on the mountain, and two people were holding up Moses' arms. But it was Joshua who was in the thick of the battle and leading the troops. What was going on there? Who was leading the physical attack? Joshua. That's good, isn't it? Because we hear a lot about Joshua later in the Bible, but there's already by Exodus 17, he was being named. How wonderful. How about this? Numbers 13, I bet you know the story. And if you don't, I'm going to just briefly tell you about it. Because the Israelites had escaped from Egypt, with God's help, of course, and now they're in the wilderness and thinking, well, where are we going? What's next? And so Moses sends in 12 people, one from each tribe. And 10 people come back saying, yeah, it looks a bit difficult because there's really tall people there, but, oh, look at the bunches of grapes we've brought back. We even need a big stick to carry them. They're that heavy and plentiful and beautiful. And 2 people, Joshua amongst them, was saying, and Caleb was the other one, saying, it looks a bit difficult. The people are tall. The people are many. But God's on our side. That's what Joshua was saying. So even as a youngster, 40 years old or something, he was saying the right thing. He was seeing there was a problem, but he knew that God was on their side. He knew that God could make a difference in their life. He wasn't born Joshua, though. Hoshea, that was his first name. And I'm not going to say the joke about his mom was a nun, because his dad was called Nun. He was son of Nun. So I'm not going to say that joke. But Hoshea was what Nun and his wife called him. Hoshea means salvation. And we don't know exactly when, but Moses changed his name from Hoshea to Joshua. Joshua means Yahweh is salvation. I bet you know the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. Go on, tell me, what's the Greek form of Joshua? Jesus, Jesus. So do we know anyone with the Greek form of this name? Of course we do. So when we look at the person of Joshua, he's like a forerunner of Jesus. He's not just in his actions, but in his name. He's just, by his life, he's saying, I'm doing this, but you watch out, there's someone much greater, just like John the Baptist said, there's someone much greater than me who's coming. It might be several hundred years before you see him, but someone with my name is coming, and he's going to be wonderful. So the Greek form of Joshua is Jesus. Yahweh is salvation. So as a youngster, He faced a challenge, and because he knew God was with him, he fought in battles and he went and spied out the lands and he had his name changed. But all through that, he was obedient to God. He knew that God was with him. How about a bit later? As an apprentice to Moses, there's a television program called Apprentice. They're a load of, they're not very good really, are they? Not if you ever watch it, you'll think, oh, they could do better. But this apprentice, Joshua, was an apprentice to Moses. Now, of course, we know Moses as a real man of God. I wonder what it was like to sort of be his apprentice. There's some amazing scriptures that we'll read out in just a moment. But he acted like a shadow to Moses. So all the things that you see Moses doing, just imagine Joshua just by his shoulder, just looking and thinking, oh, how amazing that was going on. He saw what was going on in Moses' life, how God was interacting with Moses. And I bet he must have thought, how incredible. These two scriptures near the bottom, the first two, Numbers and Deuteronomy, they talk about how Moses laid his hand. I'm always glad when Jill sits here at the front. She's a real good sort of example. That Moses laid his hand and prayed for Joshua. That was a really important thing because as he prayed for Joshua, so it was like he's being set apart to do something for God. I'm going to read, and you can read these for yourself. Remember, this is all on our website by tomorrow. But also, it's this Exodus scripture, Exodus 33, which is fantastic, and it involves Joshua. Exodus 33, verses 7 to 11. Now, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Oh, I've said nothing about Joshua yet. Let's read the next verse. Verse 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant, Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, 40-odd, would not depart from the tent. So where God was meeting with Moses, Joshua was there as well. When I sort of was younger, we used to have a sponge in the bath. I'd put the sponge in the bath and then I'd have water. Now, I know you think, oh, it's bound to happen. You put the sponge in the water and then you just give yourself a bit of a wash, wouldn't you? Because sponge just takes things in, doesn't it? Can you imagine Joshua being a sponge in the tent of meeting? Moses was going in and out and doing other things, but it says Joshua stayed in the tent of meeting. He was being with God. He was hearing what God was saying to Moses, but he stayed. He didn't just stay in for 5 minutes, but he spent time with God himself. How important was that? Really important. He was seeing God at work in Moses' life, but how much of an effect was it having on his own personal life, being that sponge, soaking up God's presence in the tent of meeting, and also going on to the mountain to see what God was doing with Moses there? As a youngster and as an apprentice. But then later on, he had a new role. And this is just what Jill was reading from earlier when she read about Joshua 5:15. And that talks about someone talking with Joshua. Now, probably you've thought about it before, or at least I have. And some people think it's a Christophany, which is two Greek words, Christos, Christ, and the ophany bit is from a Greek verb, phanein, which means to bring to light, cause to appear, to show. Epiphany is another such word. So a Christophany is when we think Jesus appeared in the Old Testament. So we're thinking, many scholars anyway, and devoted people, think that Joshua was meeting Jesus at that time. And the interesting thing was that Jill read that Joshua says, are you for us or are you against us? And what does Jesus say? What a daft question. I read between the lines then. But if you sort of read between the lines, he says, what a daft question. It's not me being with you or for you. I am the Lord. I am the commander. You're just a warrior with a small W. I'm a warrior with a capital W. It's not about whether you're, if I'm for or against you. It's all about, are you for or against me? And that's a question we can all ask ourselves regularly. And it's definitely a question that Joshua would ask the people of Israel later on as well. A Christophany or an angel, even if it was an angel, how amazing that Joshua talked to an angel. But I have this feeling it was Jesus just going and saying, this is battle coming. I'm going to amaze you because you're just going to do some walking and yet I'm going to do it all. You're just going to be obedient, but I'm going to be involved in the action with you. Still the same today, isn't it? When we're battling in life, it's tricky sometimes, but we need to remember God is definitely with us. So it's another fresh challenge. Each page is saying fresh challenge. He was sort of going into the tent of meeting. It was a fresh challenge. He could have said, I've had enough of this. I just want to be doing my own thing for a while. But he was obedient to that fresh challenge. What about another fresh challenge? Almost ready for another chapter. So I'm thinking about this time, Joshua chapter 24. Right near the end of the book. And verses 14 and 15. So he was perhaps leading Israel for about 28, 30 years or so. And obviously he was an old man. So he was thinking something's going to come next. And the next chapter is not being alive, but going and following God and worshipping God elsewhere. What did he say in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15? This is to the people of Israel. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it was evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God is asking the same question to you today. Who are you going to serve today? Are you putting God first in your life? Or is just God first on a Sunday? Or God first for 10 minutes a day when you read the Bible? Or is God first all the time in your life? All these fresh challenges when he was in his 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and then when he was near death, when he was 110, he was saying, yes, God, I want to be obedient to you and I want to encourage other people to be obedient to you as well. The amazing thing is, it wasn't just Joshua who was being obedient to God. I'm pretty certain that other people would have been doing other things for God at this time. Because Joshua was one man whom God called, but God was calling and using other people at the time of Joshua as well. And it's the same with all of us. I might sort of be the minister here. I might come up the front and do a lot of things here. But what is God calling you to do? God is calling you and your character and your abilities to do things for him. We're one people. We're all the body of Christ. and we're all called to do things for God. Koinonia, you might know, is a Greek word, and that nicely describes what God is calling us all to do. Now, you might remember that I love history, and I love music and things like that. Science doesn't really get me so much. So I've looked something up, but it doesn't really make sense. So if you think, oh, that's John's not reading it out in an intellectual way that he's on top of it, it's because I'm not. I don't understand this at all. But I think someone like Alan, just to pass the book, knows all about this because it's, oh, no, sorry, I missed a bit out. Let's go for this first. I've got a verse here that I want you to complete. This is the Psalm 133, verse 1, from the New Living Translation. I'm going to say the verse, and I just want you out en masse to say what the missing word is, because you're bound to be correct, aren't you? How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in... Eleanor, you were right. In the New Living Translation, it doesn't talk about unity. It talks about harmony. I'll tell you why. If you want to play a piece of music and it sounds like this. Oops, sir. I should have practiced this, shouldn't I? So, I haven't thought about this. So, I'm trying to play Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Now, if I do that in both hands, how wonderful does this sound to you? Okay, your facial expressions tell me about it. But what about this? Am I doing the same notes? But what is this H word I was doing? Harmony. So we could have... Or we could have... I know what I prefer. And that's what the body of Christ is like. Unity isn't all of us doing the same. Unity is all of us doing different things, but with Jesus being the head and the guide and the conductor... And saying, come on, everyone, do your piccolo bit, do your double bass, do your xylophone, you know, all these different families of musical instruments. Because doing what God says is so much deeper than all doing the same. God wants us to do different things. Okay, I'm on that track of talking about Alan now. The colour, I'm just going to read it out. The colours we see are based on wavelengths. There are wavelengths that the human eye cannot see, like radio waves, X-rays and microwaves. Alan will tell you more later, and maybe some of you, other people, will tell you more as well. But I saw a diagram, and I thought, I don't understand that. The thing is, at the top, we've got a spectrum. That's what it is at the top. And it's all about wavelengths, apparently, nanometers or something. You see, ask someone else, but it's all measured in nanometers. And it's Isaac Newton, 1672, who came up a lot with this. Do you remember Henry Ford and most of his Model Ts between 1914 and 1926 were of the colour black? Because they dried quicker or something. It was just cheaper that all of them were coloured the same. We're not Model Ts. We're a spectrum of people on Partnership Sunday. Remember, I'm still referring to that. We're Partnership Sunday where we're all doing different things for God. Different colours. Some of us might be a bit more red or yellow or green or blue or indigo or violet than some other people. But between us, we're doing the things that God is calling us to do. I wonder what they might be. I wonder if I'm able, and then at the side it says, there's 19 actions to get involved with. Here are the 19 actions. All of those. I wonder if any of those just make you think, oh yeah, I'd like to get involved with that. Leading intercessions on a Sunday, doing the sound and words on a Sunday, but there's so much more in the church that isn't to do with Sunday, gardening, designing and printing, cleaning, researching for a Bible study, doing a website, visiting people, all these sorts of things. I'm looking at people that are capable. And also I'm looking at people that are called to do this. God is calling you to do things for him. And it involves not just doing things, but it also involves being. I've got a harder list. Some of those are pretty easy because you can do it. How about showing compassion to people? How about being gracious to people? Holiness in your life. Peaceful. Where there's trouble in a house, can you be peaceful and bring something different about? So there is a form. Got one here. Plenty over there, and there's some in the foyer as well. But it's not just about filling a form in. It's all about saying, yes, I'm going to perhaps fill a form in, but I'm committed to following God. If that's in this place, because this is your spiritual home long term, or it's somewhere else, just like Joshua said, be committed to God. Follow God. Do what he says. Because sometimes as we say we want to follow God, it might change our actions. Have you ever done something and you think, that was daft, I shouldn't have done that? I heard this story recently. Someone trying to sell their homing pigeon on eBay, and they did it 22 times because the homing pigeon kept going home. Do you ever do that? Do you ever do things that God isn't calling you to do and you just keep doing it? And it's like a homing pigeon. You're just doing it again and again. But you shouldn't be. God is saying, don't be daft. God is saying, I love you. Why don't you do these character things? Why don't you use the gifts that I've given you? Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. Are we going to do daft things? Are we choosing to do daft things in our lives? It's a choice. Or are we going to choose to do God's way? Keep on seeking. But I've put a list of other things as well. Keep on seeking God, trusting God, worshipping, being obedient, encouraging others, doing what God says, being expectant, praying, being faithful, using your gifts. You could think of more words, but that's the whole space that I had on there. Irrespective of our age or abilities, God is asking you to partner with him. Whether you fill the form in today or don't fill the form in, I want to encourage you, partner with God with his mission. Because God is calling you, to do fresh challenges for him. Not just to think, this is what I did 10 years ago, this is what I did 5 months ago. But are we obedient? Are we listening to God? As he says to us, Paul, you're amazing. Have you thought about doing this for me? Barbara, I love you, God says. But what about not just doing what you think you're capable of, but doing something that I know you're capable of, and you just think, oh no, I won't do that. And it's the same for all of us. God is calling us maybe to a fresh challenge. He's definitely calling us to a challenge. But he's saying, partner with me. I'm doing something around the world. But that means the Neaton as well. And Italy and South Korea. It means wherever you go, I'm going to be with you and call you to do things. It's not just a form. It's a mindset. It's a way of saying, Lord, whatever you call me to do, I will follow you. So today, at the end of the service, I'm bound to be coming around and saying, oh, do you want a form? Will you fill it in today? But think more long-term than that. Think deeper than that. And think it's not about a form. It's all about my submitting to God, doing what he says, and not being so much interested in what I think is best, like yourself, but thinking, Lord, whatever you say, as for me and my house today, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to pray, and then Fiona's going to help us respond to some of these challenges, fresh challenges. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it's alive and active. Lord, we do something in our lives today with these fresh challenges throughout our lives, not just once and that's it, but, Lord, as we continue to live for you, we want to obey you, Lord. We want to serve you and bless others. So help us, Lord, from where we're living and the gifts we have and the character that we are, to give everything to you, Lord, and say, you are worthy. I will do what you say. Amen.